I just now we had the doctor state time, we had the dean. We had the dean with the machlokes in the Mishnah on Dafkufti Dalet. Don't use the present 50 sign because there we are going to turn. There's a machlokes on the second Mishnah on Dafkufti Dalet, that is at the bottom of Kufti Dalet, where we see that we will follow Metabu Bechazeres, Artsmagula Parteres Apas. Then it says in the Mishnah, a beautiful form of Matzah, the Chazeres, the Chareses, they bring before him, and this is the Ta'oro. This is the dish, the plate, the Pesach plate. Matzah and Chazeres, which is lettuce, the Chareses, which may tafshilim, Afa Pisha in Chareses mitzvah. Although Chareses is not a mitzvah. The Rabbi order the Tzodak Albert mitzvah. Rabbi order the Tzodak says it is a mitzvah. In the Midrash or Yubi, we do for the Gupesha Pesach. And in the basic Midrash, they of course used to bring the Korban Pesach also. So the Rambam, in his Perusha Mishnayas, says that Rabbi order the Tzodak says it is a mitzvah, which means that on Pesach you've got to make a brocha ashit rishon with mitzvah sovet tzibonu on the chareses. And the Rambam says, and we don't paskin like him. So if we don't paskin like him, we should take it that we paskin like the Tana Kama, who says afar pisha in chareses mitzvah, although the chareses is not a mitzvah. When we look in the Rambam itself, he says chareses is a mitzvah. And if you will remember, we explained it the last time, that what the Rambam means is the following. He says, it's not a mitzvah like matzah, where you've got to say, Ashek Rishonu mitzvah, so mitzvah narakiras matzah. It's not a mitzvah like moral, where you've got to say, Baruch Atu Yishem Metin Melachorom Ashek Rishonu narakiras moral. It's not a mitzvah like that. You don't have to say on chareses any brocha, but it's a mitzvah like the shank bone and the egg you've got in the Seder plate. It's that type of mitzvah. So you don't have to eat it, and consequently there's no brocha, there's no mitzvah in that. The mitzvah is only that it should be seen. Is that clear? So that is the way that I'm... Are we
talking about the chareses?
Chareses, yes. It's in the same category as the shank bone and the egg. That we've got to have the Shneitav Shili, and in addition to the Shneitav Shilin, we've got to have the Charoses. Is that clear?
It's a mitzvah to see it, but it's not a mitzvah to use it?
It's a mitzvah to see it, but that's all it is, the Shankpo.
No, but the Charoses you actually use, the Shankpo.
Well, we discussed that. We use the Charoses as an antidote for the Kapo.
Right.
Well, that's all it is.
It's not a mitzvah to use it as the antidote.
Well, no. According to the Rambam, it's not a mitzvah to use it as the antidote. It's a good thing to use it. I mean, why should you suffer from it? Suffer any consequences? It's not worth us suffering consequences, yes?
The shank bone was one of the Shnei Tavshilin?
Yes. And the other.
My memory is off. What do we use in place of the... to represent the Pesach today? Is there anything?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm sorry. And then I know that we have a section where we say Pesach Matzah Moror.
Oh, yeah, you mean the shank bone?
We do the shank bone.
Yes.
Yes, that's one of the Shnei Tavshilin.
That's one of the Shnei Tavshilin.
So what did they do in the time when they had the Korban Pesach?
They didn't have that. They had the Korban Pesach itself.
And they didn't have a shank bone?
No, evidently not.
They only had one.
In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they brought the...
In place of one took the dish, in place of both?
No, because in the Gemara it says, Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Tzorich Shnei Minei Bosor, Echot Zechel HaPesor, Echot Zechel HaGigo. We had that in the Gemara. It's not the case that you didn't remember it. You remembered it. You weren't here. That was very seldom. When it happens, it happens. Surah, there you know it. You follow?
That was from last week.
No. That was from a previous time. So that is Charles, but in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, we've got both those korbonos. So we've got the Pesach and we've got the Korban Chagiga.
And that took the place of any need for Shnei Tavshilim.
We don't need the Shnei Tavshilim.
Okay.
That's the way we learned this Gemara. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now comes an interesting thing. Now, if you look up, just before the new Mishnah, on Daf Kufke Sayan, Rabbi Ozeb Rabbi Tzodak Omer Mitzvah, it quotes the Mishnah, should be somewhere here, Rabbi Ozeb Rabbi Tzodak Omer Mitzvah, he says that Karosis is a Mitzvah. That charosis is a mitzvah. Now, when he says a mitzvah, the Rambam says, what does he mean by mitzvah? And he says, and we don't paskin like that. But we paskin like the Tana Kama, who says it's not a mitzvah, the ain't charosis mitzvah. So, Rabbi Ozeb Rabbi Tzodak Omer Mitzvah asks the Gemara, my mitzvah. What kind of a mitzvah is it? What kind of a mitzvah is this? Rabbi Levi Omer Zeicher LeTapuach. So Rabbi Levi says the mitzvah is in remembrance of the tapuach, of the apple tree. Now, so it's a mitzvah which fits in very well with the Rambam. What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is like the shank bone and the egg representing the Korban Pesach and the Chagigo, and that's got to be on the plate. So the Charosis has also to be on the plate, and it is a Zeicher LeTapuach. And as I explained to you last time, what is the way Rashi and the Rashbam learn it, the Zeicher LeTapuach is because Pharaoh says, "Pen Yilbe, lest the Bnei Yisrael become too many. Throw them into the river. Throw the babies into the river." So you can imagine what a Jewish mother does, what any mother would do, what especially a Jewish mother would do to save a child, to save a boy. They went out when the time came for them to give birth and time for labor came. They went out under the apple trees, and there, under the apple trees, they gave birth, and Hashem made it that they gave painless birth.
Why did they go to the apple trees? Was there some safety there?
That's an interesting thing. Have you ever seen an apple tree?
Apple tree.
Pardon? Now, you know, in California, when you get apple trees, and not only in California, all over the world, is it really an apple tree that you see? Because what they do is they prune an apple tree. I'm speaking about the grafting. They prune an apple tree, and they prune it in such a way that we don't know what an apple tree would have looked like if it hadn't been pruned. If all we don't know. But I imagine we had an apple tree, and we probably...
Where I grew up, I mean, our all the homes had apple trees.
Where?
In Long Island. They were green apple trees, but they were mostly for baking, not for...
Yes, and what did you prune the apple trees very
no,
much?
No.
And what did they look like?
The trees I grew up with, it just looked like... plain trees, I mean.
And how far did the leaves go on them, on the bottom?
How far did they go
down?
Where
did the leaves start?
It would have a trunk that was probably 7 feet high before the branches started out.
The branches started out.
Did they go all the way to the ground?
No.
The leaves?
The apple trees in our backyard.
You would have to reach up to reach the apple.
Now, we, in our home in Johannesburg, we had an apple tree, but we went to see it. Now they're taking it out. And I don't blame them because it wasn't bearing anymore. It was a very old tree.
I had to pick them all up and throw them away.
They're small.
Now, this tree, we didn't prune this tree ever. But I was sorry that they took it out because it used to fascinate me. This was a huge tree. Not in its height only, but its branches were, all spread out. You see, today if you take an apple tree, it goes like this. But this was all, it had big branches, mm-hmm. and it gave a lot of shade, this tree. Those were the apple.
They had a lot of shade.
Right. They had a lot of shade.
Yeah. That was
the apple tree that it was, gave a lot of shade. Not like the pomegranate tree. It gave a lot of shade. Big trees. So that was your question, Milton. Zeichel et apuach. Rabbi Yochanan omer zeichel et tit. And Rabbi Yochanan says it is to remember the tit. The tit was the mortar and the lime that they used in the building there to build store cities for Paro.
Well,
yes.
Aren't these actually somewhat incompatible ideas? Because to be zeichel et apuach, that seems like a very good thing. Let's remember the goodness we enjoyed because there were the apple trees. And then you're going to see Zecher Latit. That's a remembrance of the most unpleasant aspect of the work, no?
Well, it's not quite like that, because you could imagine if a woman went out there, she gave birth, she was in great dread, she was in dread. It's all right. But she can't stay there, she's got to bring the child home. And what's going to happen when she brings the child home? They go looking for the children. So she was in great fear nevertheless. So it's all Zeichel et apuach, but Rabbi Yochanan omer Zeichel et tit. Ober Abaye said Abaye, Hilkoch tzorich likhuyei, the tzorich lismuchei. Therefore it is necessary to make it acidy, and it is necessary to make it thick. So the Gemara explains, likhuyei Zeichel et apuach, to make it acidy, because in an apple there is acid, the tzorich lismuche, and to give it a consistency, zeche letit, in remembrance of the tit. Right? Tanyo kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that it is zeche letit. Says the Gemara, we have learned in a Beraisa according to Rabbi Yochanan, because it says there, tavlin zeicher letevet. The tavlin, the spices, is to remember the teven, the straw. Now, when they make bricks, they put straw into the mortar and into the mud, and then they bake it. And when they bake it, the straw... No, on the contrary.
It chars.
And it chars to nothing. It chars to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It chars to nothing. You see, it just gets burnt up, really. So he says, and the teven, the spices that we put into it, is a zeichelatit. Now we've got to understand, the tavlin is the zeichelatit. Now we've got to understand why are the spices in remembrance of the teven. So there are two, yes?
What good does the straw do if it goes to char? I would think it would be there to give it the brick strength.
Yes, but it's only needed whilst it's baking that it shouldn't fall apart. So I imagine that is the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that is... the Braise says that we put spices into the kerche, zeichel et teven, in remembrance of the teven, of the straw. In the word tavlin, do you see the word teven?
Yes.
See, so that's one reason, is it? So one way we remember things is, just there is an association of ideas by the way words sound, and and by the way words look.
But this isn't the word samim, so what is the difference here?
Would you pardon?
This word for spices, tavlin. It's just, I've never seen it before. For
you see, I think that besomim is the spice that you get in the shop already. And the tavlin is the spices that is before it goes into the shop.
Right.
It's the fresh spices. I would imagine so. I don't know, because we use they interchange the words. Tavlin and besomim, the words interchange.
Is tavlin an Aramaic word?
Oh, pardon?
Tavlin must be an Aramaic word.
Yes, it's an Aramaic word.
So besomim is a Hebrew word.
Is one of the reasons because of the smell of the straw? As it
no, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Another reason is that I just want to give you an idea. For example, on Rosh Hashanah, we eat the head of a fish. That we should be at the head and not at the tail. We'll speak about that later. One of the things. Another thing that we eat in Rosh Hashanah is carrots. Because carrots in Yiddish is called meren. And meren means to multiply.
Meren, that's the word more.
That's right. Means to multiply. So, yeah. So, but we'll come, I'll speak to you about that in a moment.
But it must be, you know, if the word to multiply and the word for carrots are connected, there must be something about carrots that has to do with multiplying.
But maybe.
I mean, I...
Maybe. Charis is zechelatik, and the charis is itself is remembrance of the mortar and the clay. Omer Rabbi Elozeb Rabbi Tzodek, said Rabbi Elozeb Rabbi Tzodek, kacho yo'onim tagrei chrach sheberushalayim, the merchants of the lattice work in Jerusalem, that they used to have lattice work for their shops, and they stood behind the lattice work, and the customers stood in front, and they came, they saw the customer, and then they would come out from behind to deal with the customer. Come and take for yourselves tavlin, spices for the mitzvah. Now, I just want to
is that supposed to support that these people followed Rabbi Eliezer?
That's right. That they know that they followed Rabbi Yochanan.
Well, who followed Rabbi Eliezer.
Yes. Tavlin lemitzvah. Now, I just want to explain to you, first of all, when we speak about Zeicher lePesach, Zeicher lechagigo, Zeicher letit, when we speak about that, I don't want you to think that this is symbolism, because really we haven't got symbolism. When we use a lulav and an etrog, it's not symbolism. Why am I so insistent in saying it's not symbolism? Because symbolism means, what is a symbol really?
It takes the place of something.
It takes the place, it represents something. So is it anything in itself? It's nothing in itself. It only represents that. We don't work that way. Then it means it's not real. It only represents something. We don't work that way. We work that if we've got, well, with us a zeicher, we don't, not a symbol. With us a zeicher is because it does something to us. Whatever we, when we've got the zeicher, it does something to us. Now, it's very difficult to know what, how it works. Zvorim Kedoshim explained to us that the mitzvahs have an effect on us. What the effect of the mitzvah has on us, very difficult to know. Sometimes we know, but very, very seldom. And sometimes we know, but not all of us, only a very few know. But it has an effect on one. But it's an effect that goes so deep down that we really don't know, we don't know what it is that it does. Now we, yes, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Why do we call it a zeicher?
I'm coming to, I'll explain that to you. Just remind me in case I doesn't come mm-hmm. Then I'll explain it to you. Now, this is Torah. And this has been with us thousands of years, not hundreds of years, thousands of years. It's only comparatively recently that in psychology and psychiatry they've got how deep impressions go. And you know what the psychologists do to the poor patients with these things. The patient comes to a psychologist and something wrong with him. His father's responsible for it. Another one, his mother's responsible. What is it? He wanted one day to tear up the dining room, the lounge furniture, to the upholstery, And they gave him a smack. And these human impotences has got complex things. The trouble is that there is some truth in it. But they don't think that it did him a tremendous amount of good. There is some truth in that. But he doesn't even remember it. But he could, the psychiatrist calls his mother and maybe, yes, it's true, it happened. It's correct. It did have an effect on him. He wasn't even aware of it. Had an effect on him. And they go, there are a lot of things that are absolutely correct, and they've had a good effect on us and a bad effect on us. I'm only sorry that they don't spend more time on the things that have had a good effect on us. But a small thing happens, and we've forgotten about it. We don't remember that it ever took place. It took place when we were too small to remember. But it's had an effect. It's gone into the mind, into the soul, and it's left its mark there. Therefore, we haven't got such a thing as a symbol. But when we say that charosis, you look at it, and it's the mud and the mortar. It's a form of making an effect on us. It has an effect on us. What the effect is, well, I can go on, I can speculate, but that's not the purpose of the shiur. The purpose of the shiur is to explain what is the difference between a symbol and a zecher. What is the difference between a zecher and a zikor, a symbol and a zikor? What's the matter?
I have a problem.
Yes.
Here we're talking about the zecher. And we're saying on one side of the word zecher is teeth, is this mortar,
yes.
And on the other side of the zecher is charosis. In other words, we're talking about
the charosis
to remember
the teeth.
The teeth.
That's right.
Okay, so we're trying to say, what does this word zecher mean? And we're
yes.
trying to find out what the
what I'm means. Doing is, it doesn't represent it.
I understand.
It's not a representative of it. What it is it's related to the word zikoron. And zikoron means it's the memory, which is something that is there. And this goes and makes its mark on the soul, somewhere or other. It's very difficult to know how. This example isn't mine that I give, but it's a well-known example. My uncle used to deal with this example. Imagine if we arrived on this earth with our full seichel, no other people here. We all arrive on this earth, everything very nice. We've got to eat. Hashem tells us, you see those stalks, go to them, there are seeds there, take the seeds, grind them, put water in it, put it into the oven, you'll have bread. We do it, wonderful bread. Just wonderful bread. Come in, we eat, we exist on it. Then Hashem says to us, just be careful. You'll take all these seeds, just save one big bag full. Save it. Because if we begin to get worried, it will all be used up soon. So what do? We save a bag full. The time comes, we've got quite a lot still, but one bagful we put away. Now says Hashem, put it into the ground. Put it into the ground. Now, does it make sense? Not only is it put into the ground, so, a couple of us get together and say, you know, I wonder what all this is about. We've got to do it. What can we help? But you know, it's a waste. Put it to the ground. What's going to happen to it? We water it. So what do? After 3 days, we want to see what's happened to it. We take a few seeds out of the ground. What do we find?
It's frozen. It
hasn't sprouted yet. It's decomposed. And we smell it.
It smells.
It doesn't smell like it. It's putrid. It's decomposed. What is it all about? We wait another 3 days, there's some green there. A little while later it sprouts and it grows up and it produces. We know that it's so because that is our experience. But if we wouldn't have had any of that experience, it would have been
just doesn't make sense. That's not the way it works. How can you do a thing like that? But we know from our experience that that's what it is. And so it is with the mitzvahs. We don't know exactly what it does to us, but it makes its impression deep, deep down. That is where it makes its impression. Now, when we see on the Seder table, we see the Pesach and the shankbone and the egg, and it's for the Pesach and it's for the Chagigah, and we see the morrow. All this has an effect on us. So it's not that it's just a symbol. It's not a symbol. It's an effect that it has on each one of us. That is the idea of the Zeicher. Just want to tell you something. So what is the effect if we see something that we shouldn't see?
Still
has an effect. And what an effect it has.
Well, we had that with the coin.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Banan Shel Kadoshim.
What happens if you see something you shouldn't see? Can you imagine what an effect it has on him? If he sees an ugly scene, if he sees two people quarreling, if he sees a husband and wife quarreling, and it's a child and he sees his parents quarreling, can you imagine the effect it has on that, what it goes? And he sees it. And what one sees with the eyes makes an impression. And it's an indelible impression. It's always there. He might have forgotten it all, but it's always there. And that is what it does. That's why it says in the Torah, "Veloso suru acharei levavechem veacharei einechem asher atem zanim acharehem." Be careful of what you see. Veloso suru acharei einechem. Don't go after that. Just be careful. Yes?
So does this go through the generations?
Must have some effect. Generation after generation must have some effect. Must have some effect. So that is as far as this little piece is concerned.
Right.
Yes?
In terms of it being the
yes.
Two questions. One is, does corrosive, should corrosive have apple in it?
Well, I'm coming to that. Now, I just want to show you in the deen. Just let us take the deen. The deen is as far as. The deen is on Tuf Ayin Gimel. The Ifhei in the Ramor on page Pei Dalet, page 167. Got it? In the Ramor up here.
Which one is the Ramor?
The Ramor is the cursive script.
Uh huh. In the text up above.
Yes. The second line. About the second or third line, word in the second line, Vacharoses. Before the Memzayin, yes. Vacharoses. This is the Ramo, you see. Says the Ramo, Vacharoses Ya'ase Ov, and the Charoses he should make tit. Zecher le tit, in remembrance of the tit. The Achakach Nesnim Boma at Chobetz O Yayin or Dome, and afterwards he puts into it a little bit of vinegar or red wine. Now, why does he say red wine? We didn't have anything like this in our Gemara. So, from where on earth does the Ramo get red wine? Zecher LeDam, in remembrance of the dam. So he's got there in brackets tur, the tur says so. Thank you very much for the information. Mm-hmm. And where did the tur get it from? The osina charoses, and one makes the charoses mipeiros, from fruit, shenim shelu bohem Israel, that Israel has been compared to them. Kegon, for example, tapuchim, apples, ta'enim, figs, egozim, nuts, Rimonim, pomegranates, shtadim, almonds, the nasning olof tov davli, and one puts spices upon it all, to go kinamon vizangvil, for example, cinnamon and ginger, hadomim leteven, which are like the straw, shehoyu megablin. Well, we haven't got all these things. This comes from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi speaks about it, and the Yerushalmi is in the Tosfos. The Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. So if you look at Yerushalmi, Omar, I mean, Yerushalmi is the Abdi Zeche Ledam, that we also do it in order to remember the blood. How do we do with the blood? Which blood is it? Which blood is it that we remember? That's right. That is the blood. Umishum hochi korileti bule b'mashke. And that is why it says, ti bule b'mashke, that one dips it into a mashke. The first dipping is into salt water. Dip it into a mashke, that the relish should rather be a liquid than a thickening. The chen amodabor, and so people do. Lismuchi uvish lismuchi to make it thicker. Uvish as achila bekalchina so beyayim bechomet. And at the time of eating, one puts into it yayin wine and vinegar. Uvichuvas agaonim, and in the chuvas of the gaonim. Meforesh lasus charosis peperus yenid meleknesis Israel, that we use those fruit to which the Am Israel has been compared. That the Torah at various parts compares the Am Israel. B'shirat Shirim tachas atapuach urartich. In Shirat Shirim, so it's not the same as Rashi and the Tosfos, the reason for the tapuach. The reality is because the Am Yisroel is compared to the Tapuach, and I'll explain it. Kepelech Orimel.
What's the word just before Kepelech?
Urartich. I roused you. Okay. From under the apple tree, I roused you. Kepelech Orimel. Hata Eino Chonto. The fig ripened. Omarti Ahale Betomo. I said I would go up on the palm tree. Egos, Elginas Egos, to into the garden of nuts, Ushkedin, and almonds, Hashem Sheko Shokat HaKodesh Baruch Hu Al HaKeitz, in that Hashem Shokat HaShokat is waiting for the time that Mashiach comes. Now, I just want to give you some idea, is that it's all, I'm not going to give you a whole shiur on the subject. There again, it's got to do with what we see. What we hear goes into the whole system of the human being, the whole spiritual system of the human being. What we see goes into the whole spiritual system of the human being. Torah Shebiksav. What is Torah Shebiksav? You've got to see each word, and you've got to hear it being read from the Torah in the Megillah. The person who reads the Megillah must see each word. He mustn't read it by heart. And he must hear, and we hear each word that he said from that which is written. It's got a special meaning. And this, it goes into the ear. And from the ear it goes into the brain, and from the brain into the mind, and from the mind into the intellect, and from the intellect it goes through the whole spiritual circulatory system of the human being. And from that it starts going into the soul, and it goes deeper and deeper into the soul, and there it really leaves its mark.
I have a question.
Yes.
What happens if a person is unfortunately out of the Torah world?
Yes.
And the same rule applies to the bad things that they see, the bad things that they hear, the lack of nerve, and basically the negative things in the world.
Yes.
It also goes into the brain and into the soul and into the
intellect. Of course, it's a terrible thing.
It's a terrible thing. And that's why we've got an obligation, Lilmel, to learn Ula Lamed, and to teach also. That's an obligation that we've got to the best of our ability. Yes. But you're quite right, of course it has a bad effect.
Hypothetically, let's say you find a person who's gotten this blemish on their soul. I would take it that it would leave a mark, just like eat something bad, it goes into your system, it leaves some bad effect. Does the learning of Torah make that a little bit lighter?
It's got a purifying effect, yes.
It's got a purifying
Of course it's got a purifying effect. But if you want to understand, I had a dream. Funny dream. I dreamt I picked up a golden watch, and it was attached with a chain to two coins, and on the coins were 1882, the date of the coins, and I picked this up, and I was very pleased with it. It's gold, it's worth a lot of money. I was very pleased with it. This is in a dream. And the woman tells me that her child lost a gold watch. I said, what was else the gold watch? She said, there were two coins. I said, what was the date of the two coins? She said, 1882. Took it out of it, I said, yeah, it is. She didn't even say that. That's an old dream.
That's a real life. It happens in real life, too, people.
What happened here? Now, I was very concerned about this. I had to find out what happened here. I traced it back. I was standing, this was on Saturday night, I had the dream. Saturday night. I had on a gold pair of cufflinks, and the cufflink that I wore on Shabbos was a Kruger Rand cufflink, but not a full Kruger Rand, they're too big, a small Kruger Rand, you see, it's a cufflink. And whilst I was davening Shemona Esra, I thought I just felt something. And when I finished Shemona Esra, this was Friday night, I looked and my link had gone. So I realized what must have happened, that this got somehow like this, they fell out. So I finished Shemona Esra, so I looked on the floor for it, and the gentleman behind me came up and gave it to me. When he gave it to me, I didn't say thank you to him. I just finished Manu Esra. I was busy with the Baikhul already, waiting for the Baikhul. It must have worried me. I wasn't aware of it that it worried me. But it must have worried me. I'm very particular about these things. Can you see the link of the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was worried that I'd lost my link, I won't get it back. Somebody gives it to me. Thought. One day, careful, I'll have a chance, find something precious, give it back. I didn't say thank you, isn't it? All links out. Was I aware of it? But just look what an effect it had on me. That I'd go through a whole dream on this. That's the only thing I could trace it back to. I mean, just didn't make sense, that would be. And we're through. What would have happened if I wouldn't have lost it in shul? I would have to give a signal. What date was on it?
Yeah, what was the 1882?
Pardon?
What was that?
I don't know what the 1882 was. But I'm quite sure that there was a reason for the 1882. I suppose it was some kind of a date or some kind of a number that I've been thinking about. Now, I wasn't aware, but just look what it does. Now, that wasn't such a terrible dream. But sometimes I have a dream, I wake up in a cold sweat.
Rabbi?
What is it? Something happened, I saw it. It's some little thing.
and I have a nightmare that I scream in the middle of the night, and my wife wakes me up. What's that? I had a nightmare. Just look what it does. The disturbance it creates. That we've got to know. That is the human being and that is the soul. These are the things that we are dealing with. Right, now let us go on, please. Yes, what did you want to ask?
I was just going to say that when we learn in Brahot in regards to dreams, that there's always something in a dream which has no relation to reality.
There can be. There can be, but not always. There can be. You know, the story there of how there was a king, and he said, tell me what I'm going to dream. Ask the Chochem, tell him what he's going to dream. If not, you're such a clever man, off with your head. Go and tell him what he's going to do. So, he says, that and that king is going to make war against you. And he's going to conquer your city. And he's going to come into your capital. And he's going to come into your palace. And he's going to catch you there. And then he's going to put out your eyes. And he's going to tear you limb by limb. That's what you're going to dream. You think he didn't dream it? Of course he dreamt it. a thing like that, of course he dreamt it. Yeah, that is, yeah.
You had that in Brahot?
Yes.
But if you go to somebody, make sure you pay them.
Yes. All right. Muscular coach, shady. Now, so that is the dream as far as we've got with the... I was telling you about the fruits. For example, the Yirmiyahu compares the Am Yisrael to the Zayis. And the Midrash really goes to town on the Zayis. And just look what it is. Why is Israel compared to the Zayis? Why is Israel compared to the Zayis? If one...
The purest way.
Well, first of all, what happens if you beat the Zayis?
You
get a drop of oil. What happens if you beat a Jew? Get the best out of him. The best out of him you get out of a Jew.
You beat him? I don't understand.
You don't understand. Where was the Torah greatest?
Not for him?
No, the Torah. Where was there a tremendous amount of Torah?
Oh, I see what you're saying. In places of adversity.
Those who study the Torah, are they the very wealthy men or the poor people? The poor people. Who has a hard time? People, when they have a Jew has a hard time, you get the best out of him. This, all of you beat him, you get the best out of him. And then you get the oil, and that's the best out you get of now. So you mix it with water, what happens?
Doesn't mix.
Well, that water is not good enough. You mix it with orange juice.
Doesn't mix.
You mix it with vodka. Doesn't mix. Not only doesn't it mix, you try and mix and it always rises to the surface. Israel amongst the nations. These are the things that one thinks about. Now, if one has, and I'm not using the word a poetic soul, but if one has a sensitive soul, doesn't it work with the association of ideas like that? If this is the thing that concerns me most, this is what concerns me most, and the Am Yisrael, and the relationship of the Am Yisrael to the Ribbono Shel Olam, these are the things that concern me. So when I see something, it relates to that. I see an expression of it in nature. I see it all around me. I see an expression of that. That is a sensitive soul. And that's the difference between an artist and an ordinary person. And that's the difference between a Ben Torah and a great Ben Torah. A great Ben Torah sees all these things in me. Gets tremendous thing out of it. He sees in all this, he sees something that kills it. That's what this is, makes this impression on me.
Rabbi, yeah. I think you once asked us, maybe about a year ago, you said, what is your association when you think of the color blue?
Yes, that's right.
And people were, I think we were guessing something, but then you told us what the association was.
Yes.
You think of the water, you think of the sky, you think of the Shemaim, yes. You think of Hashem, yes. You think of everything. In other words, mm-hmm. That's what you're saying, where the soul longs to go back to its source.
That's right.
And everything.
That's right. There you think about the right things. So that is, I just want to tell you, I'm telling you this because I don't want you to think that this is symbolism. It's not symbolism. Yes.
I think of people making harusah out of dates.
Are they
date harusah?
Now somebody asked me about that. They said it was fuzzy. I didn't know about it.
We just put this off an order for dates from one of the
No, it did not say dates.
It didn't?
Didn't say dates.
No, dates it didn't say, but in the text that it says though.
Yeah. And dates are one of the fruits of commercial.
But it doesn't say teach me this.
But the Talmud doesn't say it. The Talmud doesn't say it. But they give me that the Sfardim of God, now it's possible that the Sfardim of God, I just want to see the Rambam on this today. Just take the Rambam on this. האחרונות מצווה בדברי סלפים זכר לכי שהוא יאודי במצרים וחסד אוסי נעשו יריד קוט לוקחים תמורים. He takes dates. Rambam has got it. That's why the Sfardim do it with dates, you see. But date is also one of those fruits that are mentioned in Shir HaShirim. And don't forget that Shir HaShirim, the whole of Shir HaShirim, is the intimate and close relationship between the Am Yisrael and Hashem. That's the whole quote there. O glorious O Tzibukim Chiyotzbe Medosim Eso Menosim Eso Chomet O Metablim Eso Metavim Kmati Beteben Mavim Eso Ala Shulchon Velele Yatecha. And one brings it on the Shulchon on Pesach. That's all he says, you see, as he explained it. Yes. Good. Fine. That's all. All right. Now let us go on, please. This is Mosulok Kosh Sheni. Now after Kiddush, they pour out a second Kosh, the Chan HaBen Sho'el, and here the Ben asks, the child asks. Now don't forget the way we learned it until now. What is it that the child asks? Do you say to the child? Ask the four questions. Defeats its purpose. The child must already begin to ask. So you remember what we did. We take the table out. We take the table out after the Kiddush, and then we bring it back. We bring it back. So the child asks. First of all, why do you take it out? We haven't even eaten. You take it out already. So you say we take it out because we, and you bring it back. So you bring it back because we haven't eaten yet. So why did you take it out in the first place? Leave it here. So it already begins the questions to be asked. So the Chana ben Shoel, or even the other child asks his father, the in doubt of him or the Palamdo. And if the child isn't sufficiently intelligent, his father teaches him. Please count up the questions. First question. Got it? On all nights we eat. We eat other herbs. This night we eat moro, we eat bitter herb. We don't say kula moro, only moro, but we say bitter herbs because we eat the fasting also being the festival. Shemachol alaylos ona ochrim boso tzli shluku mevusho. On all other nights we eat roasted or broiled or boiled meat. Halaylo hazeh kula tzli. This night we only eat roasted. Shemachol HaLeilos, and here is a mishmash in the Girsas. But we'll get this right in the Gemara. Let us read it as is it, fully as it is here. Shebechol ha'leilos ein onu chayovim letave lafilu pam achas. On all other nights, it's not mandatory to upon us to dip even once. Halaylo hazeh shteper ovid this night twice. Ulefi dat. Now, how many questions have you got altogether?
One.
Well, but divided into how many parts?
There's four. Well, there's one central question and four.
Well, all right.
Yeah, but understand halaylo hazeh is kind of an introductory, then you have four parts following it.
Yes, that's right. And how many have we got?
The same thing.
Yes,
well, not the same question.
We don't have the same question. Yes,
that we have.
That
would
be because that would be then do it. You
no
see?
Problem.
The
question
is from the
that's right. So we do it with the subi.
The subi.
Well, why do we say, why do we leave? That's the way we do it. Well, if he died, it should then obit malamdo. And the father teaches it. Maskil dignus umisayim vicheva. He starts with gnus. Gnus is shame or gnai, and he ends with praise. And that is what is the gift. Avori mohinu, our ancestors were slaves, and now and they became free men. Our ancestors were ovdei avodah zorah, were idolaters, and look at went to Sinai. Look what became of them. That is what they were. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
That is the way we do it. The Doresh Me'arami Obed Obi Achihibba Kola Parshakula. And we make quite a lesson over Arami Obed Obi, how from Yaakov, this is only from the economic point of view, how he was a wandering Iranian, and from the political point of view, he didn't have where to be. Archihikma Kola Parshakula, until we finish the whole parsha, and this is, well, and that is the Arami Oved Ovi, is also when we give thanks to Hashem in that passage, where we also begin with Gnai and we end with Shevach. We begin with Gnai when it's that passage when for the Bikurim he brings the Jew brings his Bikurim, his first fruits, to the Kohen. And he says to the Kohen in these words, he says to the Kohen, and you shall answer and you shall say, Arami Oved Ovi Vayered Mitzroimo. My father was a wandering Iranian and he went down to Egypt, that's Yaakov. He lived there with a few people. And he became a great and mighty nation there. And we go through that. That's also beginning with Gnai and ending with Shevach. Right? Yeah. Now, why do we do it? Why do we do it? Which is a greater Yeshiva?
Do we learn from a Rashi that's from the Gemara, that a Russia always starts by saying the good first and then the bad, and then
with the names that he said.
But just when you're giving good news and bad news.
Yes.
You always start with bad news first.
Yes.
And then you give good news.
Right, yes.
And the Russia gives the good news first and the bad news second.
Yes. But this is something else. Which is a greater achievement? You say, how great the man is. You say, and where did he start from?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a greater achievement? Look where he started from and see what's become of him. And which is a greater, and how do we recognize Hashem more? And how do we express HaKoros HaTov? How do we express gratitude to Hashem more?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly more when we know we start with Gnai and we end with praise. Alright? Tonu Rabbonon, Rabbonon Le, Chochom, the no Shoah. Now we learned in the Baraisa Chochom beno sherelo. If his son is a chochom, he asks him. The im ain a chochom, if the sherelo so. And if the son isn't a chochom, he means he isn't intelligent, then his wife asks him. The im love who sherele atzmo. And if he hasn't got a wife, then he asks himself. And even if there are two Talmidei Chachomim and they know the laws of Pesach, they ask one another. Yes?
I have a question. This is, if a child goes to school and he learns this passage, if the child is a Talmid Chacham, then the father asks him. And if the child is not a Talmid Chacham, the mother asks him. And he goes to the Pesach table and he's been learning in school and all of a sudden his mother asks him. He says, they must think I'm a dummy.
Well,
the mother asked the question.
Yes, but you mustn't do that. You first have to give the child a chance to ask the question.
And if the child doesn't ask the question?
Well, then the mother asks the question.
But here it says, if the child is chacham, the father asks the question.
No, it doesn't say.
No, it's the child asks the question.
The child.
The child.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Chacham b'no. If the child is a chacham, sure, then he asks him, he asks the father.
He asks him, okay,
yes.
That's what I
mean. The im ein a chacham, ish be sherel also. And then his wife asks him. The im lavu sherel. And if they two talmidei chachomim, then they ask one another. And of course, this you know very well, I don't have to explain this to you, that you get the asking and the answering, you get much more. You get the question clear. What is the difficulty? Get the question clear. And of course, the art in a Pesach Seder is that every year you get new points, you get new questions, you see from a new angle, and you ask from a new angle. That is the whole point. That is not the same every year. And the second Seder shouldn't be the same as the first Seder, because there are things that come up in the second Seder that didn't come up in the first Seder. Right. Maskiplo Rova. Rava asks a question. Now this is, I'm sorry, it's on the Mishnah, Manishtanu alaylo zemi kol alaylos, shebechol alaylos onu madbilim pam achas. Now here the Gilsa is a little bit different. On all nights we dip once. Halaylo hazeh shteipa omim. This night we dip twice. So this is the first question that the Gemara asks. Maskiflo Rava, ask Rava a question. Look the way the question is put. On all nights we dip once. So Rava asks, every day is it then not sufficient if he doesn't dip once? Putting it as a, which means, does it mean that every day he's got to dip once? That's what it is. That's what it sounds like.
What's he told me?
I beg pardon?
What's he told Makifo Rava in the next word?
Otu.
Otu?
Then.
We're not obligated.
It's a sort of a question. Otu koyama. Then every day, lo sagyo, is it not sufficient? The lo mad, the lo chode. If he doesn't dip once, then it's not sufficient. He's got to dip once every day. Now, there's a reason why he puts it like that. Because if he would have said maskif lo rova, if he said, oh, every day must he dip every day, it suggests that the idea is that he's got to dip every day. Doesn't accept that. That's not the question. The question is, the suggestion is, it's not sufficient if he doesn't dip it every day. You're supposed to dip every day. So answers rova, Omar rova, hoki ketoni. This is what it means to say. Shebechol ha'leilos ein onu chayobim letabel afilu pamachas. On all other nights, it's not mandatory upon us to dip even once. Ha'leilo hazeh shtei po'omim. This night, it is mandatory to dip twice. Maskif lo Rav Safra. Now, Rav Safra asks a question. Chiyuv le'dargeti? He says, the question says, Rova is, On all other nights, it's not obligatory to dip even once. This night, it is obligatory to dip twice. So he says, why is it obligatory to dip? Why? because of the children. So you say because of the children, it's obligatory to dip. It's a very strong. Because children should ask a question, you say, you've got to dip. It's a very strong way of putting it. Says Rav Safra, no, that's not what it means. Ela Omar Rav Safra, that's it, said Rav Safra. Hoki Ketoni, this is what it means. Ein Onu Madbilin Apilu Pam Acha. Ein Onu Madbilin Apilu Pam Achas. On all other nights we don't dip even once. Alive are they stink of him. This night we dip twice. That's all.
Meaning we're not absolutely... It's not a...